might seem crazy what I'm about to say.
Roger.
Yes?
Just didn't even know to play this song.
Really?
This was our song.
I know.
We used to always play this at the end of every show that Roger and I did together.
She didn't know?
She didn't know. I didn't tell her.
Oh, my God.
This is so exciting. Yeah. Hey, you know what else is exciting? It was meant to be, Jess says. You know what else is exciting? That's not as smooth of a segue as I've done before.
It sounds pretty smooth to me.
Justin Breen, formerly of DNA. You guys would know him from DNA Info. But now we all celebrate the year anniversary of Brepik. It's hard for me to say, but I've been practicing. Justin, hi.
Good morning. I'm so happy to talk to both of you so early in the morning. And this is me sounding exciting at 2:30 a.m.
You are so sweet. Every time you see him on the air, you pitch me the greatest stories. You started your own PR company a year ago, and it is gangbusters. But what is amazing is it is the greatest feel-good stories ever. Tell me how this all started.
So this is just a crazy day in itself. So later today, I rented out a suite at the White Sox game for my family and friends. So if you would have told me a year ago that I would be talking to WGN Radio, one of my favorite stations in the world, and then later going to a White Sox game in a suite for a company that, you know, just came up with the name, driving up to Wisconsin with my wife for my 40th birthday last year. I mean, you have to pinch me. I'm just so thankful to all my clients and for everybody for helping me out. But, you know, just how this works is basically what I'm doing with this PR firm is what I did with DNA Info, where I wrote really interesting stories. You know, I think the last time we talked was about, on the air at least, was about a bird eating somebody's koi fish.
Koi, I think about that all the time. Yes.
Right.
Ugh.
So it's basically those type of fun, interesting stories with some of the client information blended into the story, and then I pitch those stories to mainstream media, and that's why it's been successful. It's not a typical PR venture for sure.
I think that part of the reason we all flocked to and loved DNA Info and everything that it was is it was great human interest stories that don't get a lot of mainstream media coverage. You know, it was something that at least locally we could be like, I feel good about that, or I want to help that person. Those types of things, things that are sometimes being lost in media as we downsize and right size and do all of these other crazy things. Those were the... That was the place we could go to for stories that made us feel good or feel something.
So it's just been so fascinating, you know, with my clients like Allstate and McCormick Foundation, LISC, Bottom Line, Chicago Academy for the Arts, and Better Chicago and Burwood Group, which is an IT firm. Mm-hmm. You know, that all these places have like really just amazing stories to tell. And kind of how I sum up, when, you know, my pitch to potential clients is a lot of them have all these amazing stories and they just haven't been told the right way, or no one's telling them at all. And so there are all these gems of, you know, organizations or nonprofits or just companies throughout Chicago and beyond, because I'm running national campaigns as well. And it just needs to be told the right way so media, you know, can understand what you're trying to pitch and just realize, hey, right away, within the first paragraph or two, they know it's a good story right away.
Well, I think you bring some credence to that as well, because as soon as you message me, I'm like, yeah, I want that. I want to talk about that. McCormick Foundation, who you mentioned, will be coming up a little bit later in the show. Obviously, given the building that I sit in, it's incredibly important.
Right.
This is... what the building that the Colonel built, essentially, but also Cantini is such a big part of so many of our youth and life and everything here in the greater Chicagoland area. Mm-hmm. At what point did you go, sure, starting a business, that makes sense?
Well, that's why, like, it's amazing to me that it's done better than my wildest dreams ever could have imagined already. And, you know, people kept telling me the first year was the toughest. But, you know, since I signed with Allstate over last summer, that's when it really got over the hump, and the official incorporation date was April 16th, so of 2017. So it's really just been just nonstop train since then, and you know, current clients are referring me to other people, and people are renewing contracts because they see the value in, you know, getting in the Chicago Tribune or on WGN AM radio as guests or in the Sun-Times or in publications throughout the country. And again, you know, I think the difference in what I do is, like, it's, for lack of a better term, it's a journalistic story. It's a real story. It's not a press release. Like, it's something that I would have done exactly as I had done at DNA Info, where it's an untold story or something really interesting or something unique or different about each client. But what's been really cool for me is, like, a client like Burwood Group, which is like an IT firm. And, you know, that's not necessarily the sexiest topic to write about, but they have so many interesting employees about, you know, folks that teach STEM skills to underserved youth in Denver, or one of their employees is running her 20th marathon in Paris, or there's another one who's a bodybuilder who, you know, she's a really successful bodybuilder in North Carolina. So it's like those type of things. Those are stories that media will care about. They're not necessarily interested in the company, but it's the people at the company which make for great stories.
Right. And really having those great stories put in front of us, sometimes it's hard to find them. So the one thing I want to ask from the journalistic angle, and then now moving into PR, you and I see the value of having somebody be able to tell your story correctly. A lot of businesses don't necessarily understand the value of having PR or having media, either training or somebody who can help them with that. Mm-hmm. It really, you know, stats, I'm sure. Tell me why somebody needs to invest in this.
Yeah, so it's interesting because when I talk to almost any potential client, usually what happens is for 5 to 10 minutes, they'll talk about how great their company is and here's what we're doing and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I go, well, that's great. I'm really happy for you and I'm happy you're doing well. But media is not necessarily going to care about that. They're going to care about they just don't care. They're getting 200 to 300 emails a day with lousy press release pitches or stories that, why would anybody care about this necessarily? The general public doesn't care. So what you have to do is you have to find a story that, one, that, you know, people would want to read or see or listen to, or, but, you know, even more important than that, you have to find a story that media is going to actually pay attention to. And the value for and why my business has frankly done so well is that my clients see the value in that. They see the value of getting a front page story in the Chicago Tribune or made big coverage in the Sun-Times or in Forbes or places like that. They, you know, they don't necessarily look at it as like a quantitative value. They say, hey, we're getting exposure in these major publications about the cool things and amazing things we have at our company.
Yeah, things that make them unique and allow them to stand on their own. It really is always fascinating to me when people say they can't afford to advertise. And being on this side of the industry, I'm always like, how do you not afford to advertise? You need to put your name and your business and what's special about you out there into the ether in some manner. Justin Breen, we are going to talk about so many more things. Brepik.
Correct. Yeah, my father-in-law, you know, who he's a CPA financial planner, and he calls it Brepik sometimes just to bother me. So I've got to give Arnie Krause a shout out for that. But yeah, he helped me, you know, he helped me start the company in terms of getting the, you know, the making sure I understood how the business side of things run, because I didn't know.
Okay, so
that's
something.
I was a journalist.
Exactly. So that's what we're going to talk about, because a lot of times we sit there and go, I have a great idea, but I don't know how to start. So when we come back, we're going to talk about the starting part of this. Justin Breen joining me on WGN Radio. Hannah Stanley filling in for David Plyer. More right after this on WGN. Oh, what's a show without a little T-Swift? She's epic. So is Justin Breen. Justin Breen with Brepik. See, I said it right. That was like it flowed right off my tongue. That was perfect.
Thank you.
Thank you. Justin, thanks so much. It's 2:50 in the morning and you are up and awake and enthusiastically talking about how you formed your own company after you left DNA Info. Did you leave to form the own company? Did you decide this is something I want to do and then you took that next step?
Good question. So the incorporation date was April 16th of 2017. Came up with the idea a few days before my wife surprised me with a trip up to Kohler, Wisconsin for my 40th birthday. Mm. And on the drive up, you just said the word epic. I use that word constantly. I mean, constantly. Whenever I hear it, I just kind of laugh inside. Because the name of my company is kind of a joke in a way, just because I like the word so much, and BR is, you know, the first two letters, the first two letters of my last name. So I didn't resign from DNA Info until June of last year. So I spent the first couple months making sure there was no conflict of interest, but I probably contacted 5,000 people or 5,000 companies and or just my contacts because I have a big following on social media to find my first five clients. So I got my fifth client on like June 2nd, resigned June 3rd, and then Robert Feeder had an article that broke the news to the public, I guess, about my new venture on June 5th or June 6th.
Okay, 5,000 contacts. Is that hyperbole?
Oh, yeah.
That's real.
Oh, no, that's real. Yeah, I mean, so We talked before the break about, you know, what it takes to start a business. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the type of commitment to get my first five clients. I definitely did probably more than 5,000. Like, constantly emailing, calling, meeting after meeting. And that's the grind. That's the hustle that it took for me to get there. And Allstate, which was my first really, really big client, they had originally contacted me to be a judge in one of their competitions, because it's Allstate Foundation. Mm-hmm. I work for them, and they have all these teams across the country that are just involved with amazing things. Like, it's, again, it's stories I would have done for DNA Info anyway. So I met with them, just saying, hey, I can't do this competition because I'm doing something else that day, but I'd be happy to talk to you. And I was telling them what I was up to, and they're like, oh, we actually could use your help writing stories and then pitching to mainstream media. So that's, you know, that was really lucky, but I put myself in that position where I was even getting an offer like that.
Right.
Because I was taking all these meetings and contacting all these people.
That's the thing, because 5,000 people in April, May, June, right? So in 6 weeks of incorporation, like idea incorporation, and then to getting your first five clients, many people think in sales, you always think like 1 out of 10. You were one out of 1,000. This is the grind that people need to be dedicated to get themselves off the ground. And you were doing this with a full-time job, two children
and
a wife.
Two very young children.
Yes.
And, well, first a shout out to Midwestern University. I heard heard the commercial, and that's where my wife went to.
Yes.
Right. So, just as very quick background, the first date my wife and I had was the day before she started medical school at Midwestern University. So I have seen her grind it out. She's a pediatrician. Our 10-year wedding anniversary is coming up in May. So literally all I've seen her do is work for the past, you know, almost 14 years. Mm-hmm. So that type of work ethic is in my family.
Justin, my heart goes out to you. Seriously.
No.
I've been in the same spot. Before I went back to school to get my teaching certification, I was consulting, okay, the fancy word for trying to find another job.
Freelancing, yes.
Right.
Yeah.
And started my own public relations business with two young kids, a wife working full time. There was a time where I had my daughter and our infant son in the car with me at 9 o'clock at night going to see a client to drop off printed invitations that I had just approved and gotten done earlier that evening.
Yep.
And so I totally understand the travails that you are going through. And like I said, my heart goes out to you. It's, you know, people think starting their own business, whatever it may be, is easy.
No, that's why I wanted.
That's funny.
Because, yeah. Justin, you make it look like you're the overnight success. But
okay, yeah. So let me just, okay.
Right.
So people, this is what happens. So, and people are very happy for me, and it's doing, like, again, beyond my wildest dreams. But they didn't see the start of this where I had two clients and, you know, wake at two, well, it's 3 a.m. now, but
I know.
Wake with a cold sweat at 3 a.m, like, hey, you know, you know, making sure I can pay the mortgage and all that kind of stuff. And, so I've met with all these, like, really successful entrepreneurs along the way, and I'm so glad, you know, Roger, that you brought up your story, because the people that really understand what I'm going through are fellow entrepreneurs. Like, most people, they don't even understand, you know, they're comfortable getting their paycheck every 2 weeks or whatever, and that's fine if people that want to have that life and the comfort. The paycheck security, that's great, but, like, I don't even understand that world anymore after doing it for 21 plus years. Like, I feel like this is the life I should have been doing a long time ago. And I meet with, like, super successful entrepreneurs all the time just to hear how they did it. And most of them started from nothing. I mean, similar to me, like, I had zero clients. I mean, when I incorporated April, whatever, I had zero clients. And the best advice I've gotten is just to focus on what you're good at. When I started the company, I was doing social media for some companies and some other type things, but I realized what I was really good at was writing these stories and then pitching them. I had been essentially doing that at DNA Info anyway. Mm-hmm. Just to get DNA Info's name out there, I'd get write an exclusive or get a good story, and then I'd tell the Tribune about it, or I tell, you know, WGN or ABC or whoever else, because I wanted DNA Info's name out there. And so I was basically doing this job at DNA Info. And the other thing is, you know, take every meeting within reason. If a station like WGN says, hey, we have a time slot open at 2:30 a.m. on Sunday morning, you say you don't, but you laugh at it. Like, that is, like, there have probably been 12 or 13 stories or interviews done about my company since I started, which is, that's great.
Because you always answer the phone.
I have you.
Yes.
Have to in this type of thing. And you know, my wife is, again, she's the hardest worker I know. And she's starting to understand that, like, hey, I find out that there's an interview available for my client at Tuesday at like 6 a.m. or whatever, I got to get on that and make sure my client's aware and then the media outlet's aware and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, also just to be nice to people. I think that type of thing is lost sometimes in society today. But, like, just genuinely be nice and put your best work forward every single day. And this type of this, I'm living the American dream. There's no doubt about that. And I say it all the time. And some people look at me like I'm crazy for saying that. But, like, then I see entrepreneurs and other people that are, you know, having the success that I'm having, and they just start smiling. Cause I wish I could, like, bottle this type of feeling and, like, just give it to people. Cause, like, you can have the success if you just put your head down and work hard, like, every single day.
But it's the work that nobody talks about. So I'm so glad. That's why I wanted to verify. Cause I think people would have heard 5,000 in 6 weeks and be like, sure, whatever.
No.
That's legit.
I mean, more than that. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's, you've got to get that. You've got to put in the work, because you've got to, you know, the clients will come, but they've got to find you. You know, it's not going to be like all
correct.
Social media, like, oh, I started a company and
right.
everybody's going to flock. You
That's
working
correct.
Is hard. It's work. Work is work.
There's this great mentoring group I'm with. It's called True Mentors. And essentially I'm a mentee, someone who started their own business, and then they pair you up with a mentor, and the mentor is someone whose company they make a certain amount of, I think it's around $2 million, or someone who's a CEO of a company who makes a minimum of $2 million a year, the company, in income. And so they pair you with some real heavy hitters. So, you know, besides the advice I've given, like joining true mentors, that's been the best thing I've done, because the mentees, again, that's what I am. I'm someone who's just started a company. They all have this passion. And I would say less than 1% of the people I talk to on a daily basis just understand what I've had to go through, or realize that, like, you, to be an entrepreneur, this is the type of work that you have to do. And it's a very lonely existence, because you don't go to an office a lot. But like this mentorship group, like True Mentors, it's just amazing, because all these people, like, totally understand. Like, you just feel like you're not alone when you're talking to these type of people.
Justin, we just couldn't be prouder of you. Seriously. It's so cool. I'm so happy that this is going so well, and that I love the stories you're bringing me. And it just seems like your clients are the right kind of people for you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right. We have got to get to news, but thank you so much for all of the great people you've brought us, and so that I can bring to the listeners. And then thank you for waking up at 2:15 in the morning to get on at 2:30. I appreciate it.
Yeah, today's a great day for Brepik. Put the work in, and now I'm just going to enjoy it and then get back to work right after that. So I really appreciate you talking to me, and we'll talk soon.
That sounds great. Thanks so much.